This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Hockey News Podcast. Matt Larkin here at PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. I'm literally standing in the stands right now. My feet are touching somebody's nachos. Game two has just ended. Another disastrous result for the Nashville Predators. I'm here with Ken Campbell, my usual crony, but we have some special guests today. We've got Mike Trakos, national hockey writer for Post Media News. We've got Kevin McGrann, hockey writer, Toronto Star. And I want to know, guys, can the Predators make any kind of comeback in Game 3 after what you've seen tonight, especially from Pekka-Rinne? 778 save percentage in the series so far.
Well, obviously, Pekka-Rinne's got to be better. I think anyone is going to agree on that. But yeah. I think the saving grace, and PK Subban spoke about this, they're going home. And home is where they've only lost once this whole playoffs. And there's something special about that Nashville crowd, guys. I saw it in the third round where the team really kind of rallies behind them. And there were a couple games where the Predators were down late in the third period, and like really the crowd kind of willed them back into it. So, you know what, you lose both at home. I think they would have loved to have gotten one on the road. But like I said, saving grace, you're going home where this team is confident.
Well, everybody's talking about Pekka-Rinne and how he's playing, and they should, because he has not been good. He's the reason why the Nashville Predators are down 2-0 in this series and not at least tied 1-1 or even up 2-0, because they could very well be if they had gotten even good goaltending. You know, so there's a big that everybody's talking about that, but I think that this series is over. Even if Pekka-Rinne refines himself and rediscovers himself, if Matt Murray at the other end keeps playing the way he's playing, the series is over. The series is over. He is so calm and cool and collected back there, and he's just playing so well and so fundamentally perfect. Even if Rene comes back and is the 926 save percentage guy that he was in the first round, I don't see this series going any other way. As long as Matt Murray keeps playing the way he's playing.
Well, it always is goaltending. Every like Tuesday night in February is a goaltending issue. And Matt Murray, what is he now? 20 wins in the postseason. One of the fastest to reach 20 wins in the postseason in a young career. Quite amazing. And you can blame Rene all you want, and sure, Rene has to be better. But if Nashville can't score on Matt Murray, and they have a ton of offense, and they can't seem to get anything by him, I mean, that goal tonight was fabulous, but they worked really, really, really hard to score, and then Pittsburgh makes it look easy, opportunistic as they are, pick a corner or get a rebound or going off somebody's leg. Like, those are the kinds of goals that they're getting, and Nashville has themselves really to blame because they can't score on Murray, and Rennie's not stopping the puck at the other end.
And I mean, Coach Peter Laviolette and the players after the game, I was in the Preds room, everybody's diplomatic, they're trying to protect Rene, but guys, the shots in the series, 64-39 after two games. I mean, the Predators couldn't territorially be doing anything better, really, right now. So what I'm wondering is, I can't believe I'm even saying it, but at one point do you have to start looking at UC Saros, who's quite a good backup goaltender? Obviously not in Game 3, not for the first game in Stanley Cup history in Nashville, but if Rene struggles in Game 3, do you consider Saros for Game 4?
Damn right. You consider Saros for Game 3. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Pekka-Rinne should be on a leash that's about, I'm holding my two fingers together here, about that long. And if he lets in a shitty goal at the beginning of the game or in the first 5 minutes, no. I mean, this is a Stanley Cup final. It's not like, this isn't the Quebec Pee-wee tournament. We can't be worried about hurting guys' feelings and screwing up their legacy, because if he doesn't play the way he's capable of playing and doesn't give them the goaltending they need, I think he should be on like the shortest leash ever.
I disagree completely because that's just panic. If you replace goalies
game three,
that quickly,
Kevin, it's game three and you're losing. Losing game three.
Rene got you. That's panic.
That is a time to panic.
No. Rene got you here, like Mike was just saying, and he doesn't have bad games like this. It might be a lull. I mean, it's a terrible time to go on a slump, but you got to trust the guy that got you here. He's been their goalie for a decade.
Marc-Andre Fleury got the Pittsburgh Penguins to the Stanley Cup final almost, and when it came to time to make a decision, they picked the guy that they thought was going to give them a better chance to win, and it turned out to be the best decision. And you know what? It was a shitty thing for Marc-Andre Fleury to have to go through. I'm sure it hurt his feelings, and I'm sure a lot of the guys in the room didn't like it because they all love this guy. But you know what? It was a great decision.
And the difference there, though, is Matt Murray was playing in the regular season and played more games than Marc-Andre Fleury in the regular season, where UC Saros, we haven't seen a whole lot of him in the regular season. I think there's a sentiment amongst Predators management that think that he might be the goalie of the future. Key word is the future there. Rinne caught him here, not just in the regular season, but through all three rounds. And before tonight, was still being talked about as the Conn Smythe favorite. So to kind of just change course right now, I don't know if it's just panic. I think you might even lose guys in the room.
It's a fair point, because the Predators, they love Rinne, and Rinne's an easy guy to love. I mean, I personally respect so much the fact that he came out tonight, talked to reporters, did it after game one as well. I think a lot of goalies in the same situation would have been conveniently nowhere to be found. But just because Rinne's a likable guy, is having a great year, I mean, if you're down 0-3, if they lose game three and Rinne's bad again,
if you're down,
I think you need to try to change
a bit. If you're down 0-3, the series is over anyways. The series is over anyways if you're down 0-3.
Yeah, I don't have a problem going to
losing four in a row.
I don't have a problem going to win four if they're down 0-3. Going to Saros in four if they're down 0-3, but because then you're talking about the future and you're getting a guy a Stanley Cup start and you're building something from that in the future. But I'd go back to Rinne in game three, the home crowd. I mean, everything's going to be different there. There's going to be catfish everywhere.
I agree that you go back to Rinne, but like if he lets in two goals on four shots in the first 7 minutes of the game, don't you think about yanking him?
Yeah, you know what? I was surprised he didn't get yanked earlier. Yeah. Right? But by the time that third goal went in, it was almost over by then. So Malkin puts the finishing touch on, but that was a team that was already beaten and defeated.
The third goal, was that goes
it
off a guy's
it
leg.
Off Vernon Fiddler,
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm saying you're down three. And the problem here...
You've got to make a stop, stop the puck. You got to make a stop,
but what compounds everything, and you go back to like what you're saying about Murray, this is a team of plumbers right now in Nashville. Like, they have no finishers. Pontus Aberg makes a great individual effort. Philip Forsberg's been great during the whole playoffs, but no goals for Mike Fisher. James Neal has gone cold again.
Yeah.
And with losing Ryan Johansson, losing Kevin Fiala, this team does not have any finishers. They've got a bunch of guys who belong on the third line, and you're expecting them to beat arguably the hottest goaltender in the playoffs right now.
They got P.A. Parenteau sitting in the press box doing nothing, a guy who can score, and another guy in Salamaki, and then they've got those guys out on their fourth line who are killing them. They killed them tonight. Like, their fourth line was awful tonight, and I'd consider doing a big switcheroo on that one, too.
Jake Guentzel, two more goals tonight. Really has Rinne's number. That's 12 in the postseason for rookie. That's two away from tying Dino Cicerelli for the NHL rookie playoff record. Is he your Conn Smythe right now? And if not, who is?
You know, it's either him or Malkin, I think, right now. Obviously, Rinne is out of the race. I don't know who else from Nashville has really stood up or in terms of that. Like, they've really gotten by committee on the defense, whether it's PK, Roman Josi, or... Ryan Ellis. So yeah, I still like Malkin gets another goal tonight. I think he's been just series after series, whether it's goals, assists, points, I think he's been driving a lot of the offense. So I'm still leaning towards of getting Malkin.
I think maybe we should create a Rookie of the Year award for the NHL playoffs. Yeah. Jake's been absolutely fabulous for these guys. I mean, he had a great, from when he was called up in November, he had a fantastic season, whatever, two-thirds of a season, however long it was. So he's been a real eye-opener. It's great for the Penguins to get another goal scorer like that. I mean, they can really spread around their offense. You talk about Nashville not scoring. Pittsburgh can score opportunistically with any of their top three lines, and Jake's a big part of that.
Well, I've never had a vote for the Conn Smythe Trophy, and I guess that speaks to what some people think of my hockey knowledge, whatever. Yeah, but I've
never bitter.
I've never even had a vote. But I'm telling you, if it were like Ken Campbell, you choose the Conn Smythe winner. You may have already read this, depending on what time of day you're listening to this, but I would make history with the Conn Smythe Trophy, because I would either give it to Jake Guentzel as the first non-goaltending rookie to win the trophy, or it would be shared by Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury. Because if Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't play the way he is, Pittsburgh ain't here. They ain't even playing in this series. They're not even here now. And the way Murray has played so far, he's going to put them over the top, probably. Or Guentzel. I mean, who's getting goals? Like, he's getting goals, but he's getting big goals. He scored all the big goals in this series. You know,
usually the Conn Smythe winner plays in the Stanley Cup final round, so I don't see how Fleury is going to... I mean, I know what you're saying there, but
it's the whole body of work, Kev. Come on, work with me, buddy. Come on, open your mind. Jeez.
I still lean Malkin, which is funny. I mean, if Malkin wins another Conn Smythe, that'll be two Conn Smythes, two scoring titles, an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, and three Stanley Cups.
And
but not top 100. Yeah, he's 101st. We're gonna call him 101
in history.
Exactly.
Of the NHL.
Exactly.
Well, he's the best player of the second 100 years of the NHL to this point, maybe.
Yeah.
So in 100 years, he'll be on that list. Yeah, sounds good.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
It's silent. The Zamboni is done cleaning the ice. They're probably going to kick us out, and it's way, way, way past Ken's bedtime. I got to tuck him in. Thanks for listening, everybody.